Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3, where we discuss Chinuch, we discuss education, we discuss what we can do to improve ourselves, the world, and just be the people we want to be in the world we want to be. However, today is not every Monday, and today is not like just any other show, because today is a day that every one of us is thinking of. Every one of us is with thoughts about today. This is a very commemoral day that's happening. We're in the first year from 7th of October. 7th of October is more than a date and more than a day. It's a thing. It's a history event that we went through as a Jewish nation. We are standing 365 days after the horrifying attacks. So many of my Israeli friends posted their screenshots today of 6:29 in the morning and said, the phone says 6:29, 7th of October, and the trauma around it and everything around that. And that is the day that we are on today. So it's not just a Monday. It's not just another show. It's not just the times we're in, probably in the past 9 years of doing the show. I don't remember a year that I haven't been speaking about Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah around these times, but that's not the topic today, because today we are all feeling very connected on a certain level, and we're all experiencing today differently. So going into what is happening today, we're going to be having, obviously, a discussion about 7th of October and what it means for us, but from three different angles. And the angles are, I have in studio with me Rabbi Yossi Goldman, who is the founding director of the first South African Chabad house and a well-known rabbi in the community here. I don't need to really say who Rabbi Goldman is. I think everybody knows and the impact Rabbi Goldman has had on the Jewish community here in South Africa. Talking about the spiritual journey and side of things. We're going to be joined by Craig Pandenomitz, who is the vice chairman of the South African Zionist Federation, from the Zionist side of point of things of experiencing this day. And we are here even going to be joined with Ben Danzig, who is a son of Alex Danzig. Alex Danzig, for those of you who don't know, was kidnapped on the 7th of October from his home in kibbutz in the south of Israel, and he was held captive for almost till not long ago, until he was murdered in captivity. So although he was taken to Gaza alive, unfortunately he was killed there, and the Israeli IDF had recovered his body out of there on the 22nd of July. Was known that he was officially pronounced dead, and on the 20th of August, not long ago, his body came back to Israel. Alex Danziger, and it's very special that we're going to be speaking to his son, because there's something unique about him as one of the hostages. We talk a lot about the connection between the Holocaust and between what we've gone through and between the 7th of October and our journey as a Jewish nation. Alex, since 1990, was completely dedicated to taking groups to Poland, working at Yad Vashem, educating about the Holocaust, explaining how never again, teaching so the world won't be ignorant, teaching so we all not know and not forget, and unfortunately ended up in what was called the biggest attack on Jewish life since the Holocaust, which is, I don't know, what would you think? Would you say it's symbolic? Would you say that teaches us about our journey and nation? I don't know, and that's why I have the rabbi here with me. From a spiritual point of view, as I said, Alex's son will be with us, and from the Zionist Federation, we have Craig, so we're definitely going to have a very important discussion. However, right before we start this discussion, I would really love to hear from you two things. Number one, as you're sitting listening to the show today, what does October 7 mean to you, and where would you like us to take this discussion to? So firstly, speaking about what October 7th means to you, 061-895-1019 is the WhatsApp line. Please send us a message to 061 895-1019 as a message to the studio so we can discuss with our listeners and with our guest here in the studio to see how we go with that. But secondly, right after the break, before we're going to start the interview, I would really like to start this discussion after listening to a song. The song I want to share with you is a song that was written quite a few years ago by a Holocaust survivor who was watching how his whole generation is fading away with the horrible feeling of the memories of the atrocities, of all the horrible, horrific things they went through, going and disappearing from the world, specifically while the world is already starting to question and deny at the time. And let's see what we can do different this time to remember everything. And specifically, as I said, that we have the great privilege as one of our guests to be Ben Danzig, who is the son of Alex, who dedicated his life a lot also to teach about the Holocaust and teach about what they went through and to be so strongly involved. Let's see how we can connect. We'll take this short break. When we come back, we're going to dive right into this discussion. And please share your thoughts about the song, about what we're talking about, and anything you want to say to Ben Danzig, or ask the rabbi, or ask Craig, or just topics we need to speak about. 061-895-1019 is the WhatsApp line. We'd love to hear from you. We will be right back.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, we are back. And I don't want to use any more time after the introduction and after the song. So any thoughts you have, please send us to 061-895-1019 is the WhatsApp line. But let's get to know our guest today and our discussion today. So I'm first going to introduce our first guest today, who is Ben Danzig. Ben Danzig is a son of Alex Danzig, who was kidnapped 365 days ago today to the Gaza Strip, and on the 20th of August, if I remember correctly, his body was brought back to Israel, meaning he was murdered at in the Gaza Strip. And I think the official notice of what's happening with him was only known at late time July, that unfortunately he was no longer alive. Until then, he was considered alive in the Gaza Strip. And as we know, as a South African community, we are very strongly connected to the hostages and their families. Ben, I wish if you would be here in Johannesburg, you would see how in the Jewish areas, literally in every house, you'll see a yellow ribbon without fail, every tree, every direction for the past year, parking lots all over the place. So we are definitely with you here, and let's get to speak to you and get to know you directly. Good afternoon, Ben. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the words.
Okay, so we are sitting today, 365 days later. Tell us a bit about, first, let's get to know you on a personal level, a bit about you, a bit about your father, just to introduction into this discussion of life as someone who is affected so personally and was actually, you know, being a son of someone who's in captivity and you have no idea what's happening with him.
I would say in a few words, the experience my family had on the 7th of October last year. So my mother saved my daughter and my sister daughter. That day she held the door for 8 hours while they was shooting on it, nonstop.
Wow.
My sister husband saved her family. 4 grenades inside of the place exploding, and he fight with a gun against the terrorist. And my brother saved his family, 3 little daughters. My father was kidnapped, and also my uncle, my mother brother Itzik Agat, was kidnapped that day. So for me, also my family fall apart. I left Israel. I live in France now. So I did the 7th of October 23 did affect my life. in every way.
Wow. It's like a different life, the life before and the life after, which in a way, I think, you know, we don't live what you're living, and not at that extent. However, every Jew in the world that I've came across refers to his life before 7th of October and after 7th of October as different, as something that we're going through. And
I must say about that, I must say, sorry for interrupting you, but I have to say, I grew up in a kibbutz, but I preserve myself as a Jewish man. I get up in the morning and I say the prayers, you know, even though my father didn't, you know. My father was preaching against racism, for peace, etc., etc. My point of view on things is different. I would expect the Jewish people, no matter where they are, okay, to realize what we are facing. And unfortunately, my friend, you know, the Jewish government, you know, Itamar Ben-Gvir, he have a kippah on his head, you know. But the way that those people acting, I don't see the connection between them and the Jewish Bible, you know. I don't see the connection between the prayers that we say, you know, that make us responsible to save those people. If you're reading those prayers with a full heart, you're supposed to save those people, you know.
And definitely, you know, very tense and difficult. Saying that, I think we also can't afford at this moment to allow ourselves to not see all that this reality has affected every Jewish person, and we all do care, and we all in pain. And I'd like to introduce you, therefore,
except of our leaders, they don't. So
let me introduce you to one of our leaders here in South Africa, who is the vice president of chairman of the Zionist Federation, who I personally can say that from, I think we sat the first time maybe around the 10th of October, me and you, and he's been working literally day and night around the clock, doing everything he can and keeping alive. You know, the South African community is very connected to what's happening. And yet I think that the fact that almost every house has a yellow ribbon, every person is wearing, every shopping center of the Jewish community has parking lot reserves for the kidnaps, everything has to do also with a lot of actual work that has been done and a lot of work that is put in. And I want to introduce one of the people, Craig. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us. A bit about the Zionist Federation in this context and the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me on air today, and good afternoon to all of the listeners and to the other guests. Privileged to be on air with you. The Zionist Federation, Rabbi, is the direct link between Israel and South African Jewry. That is where we place our mandate first and foremost.
Craig, I'm going to stop you. Something is not that line with your Zoom connection, so let's try fix it. In the meantime, I'll go to the next guest, and then maybe Craig, work it out with Craig so we can continue. So, Rabbi, I want to turn to you. Rabbi Goldman is been here for many, many years in South Africa, started the first Chabad house in South Africa, and the rabbi of Sydenham Shul for 35 years. Sydenham Shul had definitely taken a very strong part, stand in keeping the hostages in our memories, consistently creating events and prayers and making sure that, not that we can forget, but making sure we don't. And I'd like to hear from you, from a religious point of view, from a rabbi leader, where do you find our obligation, our part, our work that we need to do, we still need to do, and have this discussion in order to make sure that we are doing everything in our power as the diaspora community to support the hostage families and the hostages, and seeing how we can save as much as we can save.
Thank you, Rabbi G. One Rabbi G to another.
Yeah.
So we, at Sydenham Shul, we have certainly been very busy. Prayers morning and evening every single day. Extra Tehillim on Shabbos and singing Achenu. And Rabbi Stern took a solidarity tour to Israel not so long ago, and they went to the south. And in fact, I took a Sydenham Shul tour to Israel in April 23. And it was our third tour that I had taken, and because we'd done all the major centers before, we decided to do something different, so we went to the south, which we'd never done before. So we went to Steboka, to Ben Gurion's house, which is a museum today. I was very pleased to see that he had a Shas, and he had Shulchan Aruch in his library. And then we were given a guided tour by Ralph Aronson, who lived in Kfar Aza, and was one of our tour guides in a previous tour. And he told us about life in Kfar Aza, which is on the border of Gaza. We saw Gaza with our naked eye from Kfar Aza. It's just across a little bit of field and grass. And his words then were, in April 2023, this place, Kfar Aza, is 90% heaven and 10% hell. When the rockets come, which is 10% of the time, it's hell, and they have to run to the shelters, and we saw the miklats and the shelters and all that. But it's 90% heaven, and we love it here. 6 months later, it was 100% hell. And dozens of people in Kfar Aza were murdered, and they're all refugees now, wandering around Israel, not sure if they're ever going to go back, and if so, when. So we experienced that with the shul tour. And from a religious point of view, I mean, we can give tzedakah, we can support all the different causes. I mean, on my phone I get every day dozens of requests for help of one kind or another from Israel to help the soldiers, to help the different causes that are working for the hostages' release or whatever it might be. We can give tzedakah, there's no question about that. But every prayer we say, physically, what can we do from South Africa? It has to be, besides tzedakah, it has to be spiritual.
So
every prayer, every mitzvah helps in a cosmic sort of way.
And I want to ask specifically about something that Ben mentioned before, which I'm starting this discussion quite with a heavy feeling, because, you know, seeing that and watching the work in a community, which we'll get to in Craig in a minute, of, you know, being so invested in supporting the hostages. And yet when Ben is speaking, I could sense almost that Ben doesn't feel that support from the religious community and doesn't feel necessarily supported, which I'm wondering, how do we cover that gap? Ben wants to comment, so maybe I shouldn't speak in his behalf. Go ahead.
No, what I'm saying is one simple thing, that the Jewish religion, the sources that we have, is so beautiful and deep, you know, and there, in a kind of a way, you know, we are occupying ourselves in tribes like thousands of years ago, instead of finding the common denominator, you know, which is, for me, a Tehillim, like the rabbi said, you know, because I find there all the truth that I need now to survive, you know.
100%, and you know, that Tehillim on a personal level, I could say to you that whenever there's ever news on the hostages, one of my daughters, who together with her friends divided all the names of the hostages, and they every day for the past 365 days, they each have, I think every month they rotate, and they take seriously dedicating themselves to a few, each one of them. Her question always is there any news about mine? And almost like that direct connection between my hostage, my family, obviously people she's never met, and they, every one of them, out of the unfortunate 101 that are still there, feels extremely close and connected to. I just want to rejoin Craig into the discussion, and then we can continue. Craig, let's try again. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good afternoon, Rabbi. I'm really hoping that that's clear now.
Yeah, now we hear you. Okay, let's hear a bit about the Zionist Federation parts in this.
Thanks, Rabbi. And to all the listeners, good afternoon. Yes, I think, Rabbi, the Zionist Federation's first and foremost mandate is to connect South African Jewry with Israel and to keep us a connected community with the country that we all refer to as our other home. And I can certainly agree with you that the 7th of October shook each and every one of the people that I have connected with in our community to the core on every level, Rabbi. And we embarked on a number of initiatives on the 8th of October, literally, or straight after Yom Tov. On the 9th of October, we got cracking, and we've done a number of things. One of them is to obviously support a number of the displaced in Israel, and we arranged a large amount of collections and coordinated a large amount of collections and charity that went to the needy in Israel. And we started news groups in South Africa where we put out curated news every single day to our community and to a large Christian community that are very supportive of Israel and supportive of Zionism, to ensure that people were getting reasonable and fair news on the ground, none of the propaganda that we see, unfortunately, in mainstream media. Through some of our affiliates, we've had a number of missions that have gone to Israel to take people there to see with their own eyes what took place on October the 7th. And I was privileged in February to be on one of those missions. And I can tell you, it gave me a very unique perspective to see firsthand and witness the atrocities that took place on that day. I don't know if I will ever come to terms with what I saw. And, you know, since then we've been involved in multiple projects where we have had the most amazing speakers coming to South Africa to share their stories of October the 7th with us in the most personal ways, sharing with us, you know, hostage survivors, or people who have lost family whilst they were hostages. You know, which brings us, literally, it feels like yesterday, but 365 days around the world to where we are today, a year down the line, and very focused on the commemorations that us as a community have been putting together. I was involved in the South African Jewish Board's community project, which is still ongoing at the moment, and later today, I'm sure we'll discuss it just now, the Zionist Federation commemorations, which will take place this evening. And so, yes, it's been a very, very full and busy year, but we're very aware that our family and friends in Israel are fighting on a much more serious level, and we're very sensitive to what they're going through, and we want to be here as a community to support them in any way which we can.
You know what, Craig, one of the things that are, I'd say, challenging for me while I'm thinking of all that's happening, is that we're talking about a year since October 7th. We're talking about remembering, we're talking about a year that since it happened. But rockets came in today. 101 hostages are in Gaza today. There are soldiers losing their life today. There are terrorist attacks today. So we're kind of still in, not kind of, we are still in that event. And we are still in that place. And by remembering and connecting, are we not maybe not emphasizing enough on trying to first come to some kind of end or resolution of what is actually going on? Ben, go ahead. Because Craig, Ben wanted to comment, Craig. And as family, you go first.
Okay. Wait. I will say that one out of four in my village, Kibbutz Nir Oz, were either murdered or kidnapped. Okay. There are 27 people from my kibbutz, my village, that's inside of the Hamas hands. Okay. So I was supposed to talk in that memorial and the other one, but for me there is no memorial. There is 1 year of every day is a memorial day, you know. And until our government don't stand on the foot and bring them back, for me, it's the 7th of October, 1 year ago.
So, you know, that we've very limited influence in deciding and, you know, managing what the government does. Is there really nothing else that we can do as Jewish people that is not involving the government?
Look, for me, the fact that we are speaking now, the fact that you are wearing a kippah and I don't, you know, and we still can talk and come to conclusions, that's enough for now. Because this thing don't happen in Israel, you know. Dialogue, speaking, it don't happen, you know. Where it should.
And that's almost the most concerning part of this whole reality, that we're not united on this.
Sinat achim. Sinat achim. Sinat chinam. That's the subject, you know.
So, Rabbi, how do we overcome this?
Well, first of all, I beg to differ. I think that one of the positives that emerged from this tragedy is that there was a tremendous unity in Achdut after October 7th. And we saw secular Israelis and Haredim and people with shtreimels dancing with soldiers with tattoos. There was a beautiful expression of oneness and togetherness and unity which came about from this tragedy. Of course, it's very sad that it takes a tragedy to bring this unity. Before we were fighting, it was almost a civil war with the judicial reform issues and demonstrations and counter-demonstrations. And thank God that's been put on hold for a while. And there's a really tremendous achdut that is a positive that has emerged from this bleak situation. And I think that's something worth celebrating, actually. In addition, the military successes that have occurred in the most recent times seem to show, please God, a shift in the balance of power. And if Israel can achieve what it's trying to now, north and south, and be able to bring peace and quiet, and people can come back to their homes, to their towns, to their kibbutzim, from being displaced in hotels and God knows where, this will be a great thing.
So Rabbi, I do understand the concept of, you know, talking about the long term and understanding, and you know, we don't want this to happen again, and the army and etc. My question is, are we not being a bit understanding or lack of understanding the reality of the hostages, that it's not another day in captivity, it's another minute, it's another second, it's another split second. So yes, obviously there is the long run, and there is the safety of the country going forward, and there is, you know, the worries of, you know, we can't just everything that has said about, you know, about the future and about everything. I'm the least knowledgeable. I'm not the last one to speak about that. However, how do we keep a balance with actually, although having an opinion about a military process, still having that sensitivity and understanding what it means? You know, I find people counting on houses. I see even, you know, 354 days in captivity, or three. People are very aware. And sometimes I was longing, like, feeling like, how can we measure this by days? Do we not need to measure this by minutes or by seconds or by just the horrifying reality? And maybe there's no answer, but at least to find a better way to show how our emotions and understanding towards them.
I don't think it's measurable by seconds or nanoseconds.
Or anything,
it's completely immeasurable, and we have no idea what these poor people, our brothers and sisters, are going through there. And again, all I can do is pray and send donations. I don't know what else I can do on this side. And we they're in our hearts, morning and evening, every three times a day at least when we daven, and many times throughout the day when we're not davening.
Which is amazing to see. I have to say, specifically Sidnim Shul, but all the shuls I'm seeing here, every one of them, there's not a service, a day, an event, a concept that the hostages and the people are not mentioned very strongly and not part of.
And furthermore, I've been doing a lot of public speaking around the world in this last year or two. And in the last year, wherever I've gone, America, Australia, Canada, every shul I go to has special prayers.
We speak in
and I felt the unity of Am Yisrael, that wherever I went around the world, we were saying the same or similar prayers.
And you
really felt part of one nation.
Yeah. So we do have to take another short ad break, and then we kind of went over time, which we never do, but specifically because it's an important and sensitive topic and a very special day that we're at. But we will come right back. We do need to take a short break, and we'll be right back here.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back in a very emotional discussion, I would say, here as we are on October 7th. And any thoughts, anything you want to share, you want to add, you want to comment about what has been said today in the show with quite a bit of emotion and strength, please share with us on 061-895-1019. If you want to message something that you want me to read to Ben, who's his son. Alex was in captivity in Gaza until his body was released by the IDF. If there's any message, just WhatsApp us, 061-895-1019, and I will let him know. It's an opportunity that if we can speak to the hostage families, we'd love to take that. Going into this discussion, and you know, we spoke about the families and the spiritual side. Craig, you being, you know, the center of all of this happening here in South Africa, where do you see the balance potentially between everybody feeling all the work that's happening for the hostage family potentially to be able to experience that, all the love and care that is showered at them from the firm community, the Jewish community, the rabbis, etc.?
Rabbi, if I understand your question correctly, just to recap, just, you know, how do we get our message across to those people in Israel that are facing this terrible trauma minute by minute?
Yeah, correct.
So, you know, I think that one of the very interesting projects that we just did that launched last night was a music video from the South African community. And I'm going to very carefully not say the South African Jewish community, from the South African community as a whole, to
correct
our families and friends in Israel, to stand in solidarity with them. And I don't say this word lightly, in solidarity, but to share with them some of the absolute sense of hopelessness and pain that we feel very, very often when thinking about the hostages that are still languishing in Gaza. And I can tell you personally, it's the first thing I think of in the morning when I wake up, and it's the last thing I think of when I go to sleep at night. And I'm certainly not a rarity in South Africa. I think that this has permeated the very core of our community. And I wish we could give them a better sense of how much we do care, because I do feel that it runs that deep, and it is at the core of our being. It's who we are as a Jewish community now, that first and foremost, we want to see our hostages returned home immediately. And I'm very grateful that I'm not the person that has to make the decisions in Israel on how to do that, because I think it is a really horrific task. But you know, everything that we're doing from the Zionist Fed is to show our community in Israel that we genuinely as a community care. We live every single day vicariously through the hostages and the hostages that have been released and the families that are still fighting for their families to come home. And you know, it's been an absolute roller coaster where one day you can absolutely be so elated, and I think back to when that Arab Bedouin was released and the celebrations that erupted across the Jewry of South Africa, but also across Israel. And every time a hostage has been freed, how we've celebrated, and then on the other side, to the absolute despair we felt when we hear the terrible news that hostages have died at the hands of Hamas in Gaza. And, you know, Rabbi, aside from the social media that we put out and these music videos that we do, the consistent prayers through our shul prayer groups, Tehillim groups that are circulating consistently. If one message could reach our family and friends in Israel, to say that we feel, we can't understand the pain, but we feel pain, and we are very aware of what the trauma that's going on there.
Yeah, it's very evident how involved the Zionist Federation is in pushing through. We do need to take our last ad break for today, and then we're going to come back. And I would ask, after the break, I'm going to ask each of you to take a minute and give us your message and what you want to share and what we hope to have and go forward the message from this talk today. So, short ad break.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch Rabbi G. We are back, and we're really towards the end of a very important and emotional, fascinating discussion we had today. I had here on show with me Ben Danzig, who is the son of Alex Danzig, who was kidnapped to Gaza and murdered in captivity. Craig, who is the vice chairman of the Zionist Federation, and Rabbi Goldman, who is the original rabbi who started the first Chabad house here in South Africa, as well as running Sidnim Shul, being the rabbi for 35 years, and just being part of the community forever. And I'm going to now stop asking questions, and I'd like each of you, in the very short time that we have, take 1 minute and give us your message for today, for the future, for going forward. What would you like us to know? What would you like to share with us? And I'm going to give the respect first to Ben, Ben Danzig.
Thank you. Before I say my message, I will say a few things. First of all, for the rabbi who talked before me, the people responsible didn't take responsibility. Okay. It's not about spiritualism or religious now. It's about facts, right? The second thing is that the nice atmosphere and the unity that you feel, you do feel it outside of Israel in the communities. We need this to happen inside of Israel. Okay? This is the mission.
Correct.
To heal, so my message to Am Israel is, please read some Tehillim and please remember where we come from. We come from Lo Tirzach, Lo Tignov, Lo Tinaf, Lo Ta'ane Ed Tachaver Shecha, Lo Teshaker Lo Nachon, v'chulei v'chulei.
Yes.
Okay. Misham anachu baim.
And that's where we need to get to. Misham baim v'lasham olchim, as they say. And we need to be in that place. 100%. You and the rabbi are changing seats. 100%. I'm with you on that.
And no, I'm a katonti. I'm not a rabbi. Katonti. But the truth has to be said. My community is not accepted in Israel. You know?
That's very painful and definitely something that needs to change. And we need to do whatever we can in our power to influence and change and get that discussion within Israel in any way. Thank you, Ben. Craig, what is your message that you would like to?
My message is that as a spokesperson for the Zionist Federation, in very difficult circumstances in South Africa, we don't have a government that supports us. We find ourselves in a political landscape that's quite difficult, that we will not back down. We will keep fighting tirelessly for our community and for Israel to be understood and have the respect it so deserves in incredibly difficult circumstances. We are fighting as a country a multi-pronged war, a war that's being fought not only on the battlefields in Gaza and in Lebanon, but also further afield and also on social media. And I want to say that from our side, we will continue to work tirelessly. And Rabbi, my last point is to say that the one thing that's held me together is being part of a absolutely phenomenal Jewish community in South Africa. The support that I've received from our community members, because they know that often I'm at the forefront of what's going on, and I have a front row seat to some of the pain that Israel is experiencing. The community have held me, cared for my colleagues at work at the Zionist Fed. And I want to just say that, you know, I think that to rally around your community and to stand with each other, we have an event this evening that I can urge people to go to. Registrations are closed, but if people arrive at the venue with IDs and want to come in, it will be a very moving event this evening. And I think so critical to stand with your community. To face these kinds of tragedies on your own is incredibly difficult. And amazing. I urge our community to come together.
100%. And I know we're completely out of time, but I have to hear Rabbi Goldman. We have 30 seconds.
Well, my father, Olav Shalom, was a Holocaust survivor and single-handedly rebuilt his family. I think the October 7th was a mini Holocaust. And I think we should learn from the Holocaust survivors who rebuilt the Jewish community, who rebuilt the Jewish homeland. And we have to find ways of rebuilding now in Israel, physically, emotionally, spiritually, to rebuild and to grow and to come out better and somehow more blessed from this terrible tragedy. Please God, we should see it with our own earthly eyes.
Amen. A beautiful, beautiful message. And Ben, I see, is supporting and agreeing with that last message. Very powerful. So, Ben, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it. An unbelievable, important, special talk. Thank you, Craig from Zionist Federation, for everything you do. Thank you, Ben, from Israel and from as a family who's going through so much suffering. Thank you, Rabbi Goldman, for being with us on this journey and on this talk today. Stay safe. Have a Gemar Chatima Tova, and we will be back next Monday with continuing our discussions.